Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on The Charlie Kirk Show, we dive into the impeachment madness and show you what the media is missing. We go historical analysis into how the President of the United States is different than other presidents that have fought these type of controversies before. And we have a scathing and a can't-miss segment when it comes to the war in Afghanistan. You guys are not going to want to miss this. It's exclusive insight from a conservative that you guys have got to hear. Please right now, pull out your phone. Do me a favor, pull out your phone and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Press subscribe if you're not already and give us those 5-star reviews and get a friend to do the same. Leave us those 5-star reviews. We greatly appreciate it. And we are surging in the charts. And if you guys want to beat The Rachel Maddow Show and do your part to make the New York Times have not so good a day, then go right now, type in Charlie Kirk Show, press subscribe, and go get all your friends to do the same. It's important that subscribe button is pushed. We got a really special show in store for you guys. Can't wait to share it with you. Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show, your home for conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Buckle up, friends. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. We are here at the set of The Charlie Kirk Show at an undisclosed location, but we're having a great time here. Despite the president facing unprecedented impeachment. And, you know, I'm just watching this amazing rally and the president with the energy, the enthusiasm. And I think it's so unbelievably historic, not because of the sham impeachment articles that have been introduced. I mean, you have Jerry Nadler, who says that he's obstructing Congress, which makes no sense whatsoever. In a prior episode of The Charlie Kirk Show, which all of you guys should go and download right now, we talk about how that doesn't even make any sense, that we don't live in a parliamentary system. We live in a presidential republic, a presidential constitutional republic, one that essentially separates powers with separate but equal branches. You have the executive branch and the legislative branch, and there's friction and tension between those two branches. But I was watching this amazing rally with the president, and it just looks like it doesn't faze him. I mean, we're going to go into later into this show exactly how other presidents have reacted when they were under similar impeachment threats. This president is drawing bigger crowds than ever before, is speaking longer than ever before, has more enthusiasm and more energy. It's absolutely extraordinary. And yet, if you really look at why they're doing this, and what the real motivation of why the Democrats are trying to impeach him, put simply, is because they know they cannot beat him. They know that in a fair fight, he cannot be beaten. So their whole thing is about election interference. Oh, we're so worried about election interference through Ukraine or through Russia, which is all nonsense, by the way. What they're doing is actual election interference. They're interfering in the 2020 election by trying to supplement and help a deeply flawed cast of Democrat candidates. So here's what you guys got to do right now. Take out your phones, type in The Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast right now. All your iPhones have podcast apps. And if you think, oh, my phone doesn't have one. No, it does. Type it in, Charlie Kirk Show, and then there's a purple button. Press subscribe. It helps us so much. So right now, in the top charts, The New York Times is beating our show. Thanks to you guys helping us out yesterday, we got really close. So we got to keep on doing that. And then if you guys subscribe, you will hear my exclusive analysis first thing tomorrow morning when this episode drops of something that everybody is missing about impeachment that you will be able to learn and bring to your liberal friends or your confused friends, but therefore they must be liberal. So I repeat myself. Subscribe. All right, so that was our cold open for our little freebie on Instagram Live that we like to do. And for those of you guys that actually went and pressed subscribe or that are invested listeners of The Charlie Kirk Show that have typed in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider, and pressed subscribe, let's go. Let's have some fun. So this morning, Schiff, Nadler, and Pelosi held a disgraceful press conference announcing articles of impeachment on two counts. And we'll get to that in just one moment. And it's so important because there's something that all of them that were announcing these articles of impeachment had in common. Something so profound and so important. And the founding fathers envisioned this entire thing happening. They were clairvoyant. They were prophetic. They saw it happening ahead of time, and they built a system to not allow the tyranny of the elites to ruin individual freedom, individual liberty, and a great potential experiment of America. But first, Wolf and Shepherd, this is a great company. Mr. Producer, he's wearing these shoes right now. He might even run a marathon in them, which actually someone has done before. They make the world's most comfortable dress shoes for people who are out there to get stuff done. It's a bold claim, I know, but these guys actually do back it up. In fact, like I just said, I had to fact check this. I thought it was fake news. But a guy had not only run, but won a half marathon in their shoes. Again, I had to look it up because I couldn't believe it. This is Wolf and Shepherd we're talking about. They are founded by a former track athlete and Adidas designer with amazing Italian leather. They combine soft Italian leather, innovative support, and cushioning, as well as a bunch of other upgrades. They've created dress shoes you can literally wear all day, discomfort free. And what's awesome is this plays into a mission of theirs that I truly, truly believe in, which is you got to be comfortable when you wear your shoes. Because I wear these ridiculous dress shoes all the time. When you guys see me at Turning Point USA Student Action Summit, I'll be wearing my Wolf and Shepherds. I'll be wearing, you know, the dress shoes actually make me comfortable. But usually I get back pain. I get horrible, horrible pain. Wolf and Shepherd has it solved. So here's what you do. You go to wolfandshepherd.com/Charlie. Shepherd is S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D. That's wolfandshepherd.com/Charlie. It's $101 off any purchase over $300 when you use that promo code Charlie. So wolfandshepherd.com. All the guys listening to this, I'm sure you guys have lots of pain when you guys wear dress shoes. No one actually says, oh, I can't wait to wear my dress shoes. They're horrible. Wolf and Shepherd has you covered. They're so comfortable. They're wonderful. Wolfandshepherd.com. Use that promo code Charlie. And for all the ladies out there that have guys in your life, what a great gift. Maybe like Pete Buttigieg, your boyfriend works for McKinsey and he has to wear a suit and tie and dress shoes every day. Well, if your boyfriend works for McKinsey like Pete Buttigieg, and we'll get to that in some other future episode when anyone ever cares about what he did at McKinsey, then you guys got to get Wolf and Shepherd shoes. Wolfandshepherd.com/Charlie. The media is totally missing this point. And so when all these representatives announced these articles of impeachment today, first of all, Rep. Nadler has now said that the impeachment write-up will begin on Thursday. So let's roll tape of Representative Nadler's announcement.
Later this week, the Judiciary Committee will meet to consider these articles of impeachment and to make a recommendation to the full House of Representatives. We do not take this action lightly, but we have taken an oath to defend the Constitution. And unlike President Trump, we understand that our duty, first and foremost, is to protect the Constitution and to protect the interests of the American people.
And so, but here's what everyone's missing. And I just tweeted this out just seconds ago. Here's what everyone is missing. This shows why we need the Electoral College. This shows why we need the United States Constitution and the process that we have put in place for decentralized elections and true representative government, a true constitutional republic. Because today, three Democrats from New York City and three Democrats from California, and there was also one from Massachusetts, all stood on a stage and announced they were going to overturn the votes of 63 million Americans, all in an effort to cancel your votes in 2020. Guess what? We can't let them do this. I tweeted something very similar. So you have coastal elites from New York and California, from heavy population states that believe in mob rule, that don't have any regard generally for individual liberty or freedom, that want to remove a president who has revitalized the country, restructured it away from its DC-centric policies and laws that have made the direction of this country go into jeopardy. So then an hour later, Speaker Pelosi announces that she's finally bringing the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, the USMCA, to a floor vote after stalling on it for a year. So a little bit of background, USMCA is unquestionably better than NAFTA, and we'll have some sound on that in just a second. But it was really designed and negotiated by our friend Jared Kushner, and it's to replace the failure of NAFTA. Well, the AP and the Washington Post, which amazingly, the Washington Post proved an old adage today that a broken clock is right twice a day, because they did something on Afghanistan that really deserves credit. Very good journalism. We'll get into that later in the show. But they actually positioned this as, quote, in the midst of impeachment, Trump scores major win. I can't believe it. Hell has frozen over. The clock, broken clock, right twice a day, whatever thing that I can use. Okay, we'll think of another one. Anyway, the question is, why did this get so delayed by Nancy and the House Democrats? So they've been put under such amazing pressure to get this deal done. The unions like it. The corporations like it. The job creators like it. The entrepreneurs like it. This will unquestionably add at least 1% to American GDP this next year. So this actually might be President Donald Trump's recession insurance plan. So we talked about insurance plan before, Peter Strzok. and Lisa Page, where they said we need an insurance plan in case President Trump wins. This is an insurance plan for the benefit of the American people so that we don't go into a recession and we've redone NAFTA. Guess what? George W. Bush didn't redo NAFTA. Barack Obama didn't redo NAFTA. It took a rebellion presidency like President Donald Trump, who's focused on delivering results for the American people, to get this done. But is the UMCA unquestionably better than NAFTA? Let's play tape.
There is no question, of course, that this trade agreement is much better than NAFTA.
So that's Nancy Pelosi, in her own words, bragging that this is unquestionably better than NAFTA. I agree with her because she knows that she's losing rapidly on this impeachment fight. She looks at the impeachment fight almost like taking cough medicine. She wants to get it over as quickly as possible. She knows she has to do it to continue to be Speaker of the House. She knows she needs to do it to pacify her rabid base that could basically thwart her speakership at any moment. But she needs to down that cough syrup as quickly as possible and then move on and hopefully, in metaphorical terms, get her caucus to a healthy status again, because it's not. Her own base is the one that is demanding the action on impeachment, and she's completely beholden to them. You remember Rashida Tlaib, who said, we're going to impeach the mother effer. You remember Rep. Al Green, who basically said, we need to impeach him to make sure he does not get reelected. These things have been said time and time again. But guess what? The national numbers are going in the wrong direction. And you can't forget this. Nancy Pelosi has over 30 moderate House Democrats in districts that Trump won in 2016 that she has to appease. So she's trying to appease the base while not losing the majority. Do you know who's the biggest fan of impeachment right now? Well, not the biggest fan, but politically knows he's going to benefit from it. Our friend and minority leader, Kevin McCarthy. Republican leadership held their own press conference later in the morning and ripped into the press.
We are members of Congress. We're going to take a vote on two articles of impeachment. We're not going to take a vote on whether a call is perfect, because that's not what's before us. You may think impeachment's not important, but it hinges not only on our nation, but what the rest of the world is going to look at from an idea of who we are. See, I simply believe that America is more than a country. America is an idea. An idea so powerful that millions in Hong Kong will rise up for the idea of the freedoms, what we say we behold. The idea that these individuals in the majority, they got the transcript of a phone call, made a president do that only made our nation weaker in our defense. Because to tell me what other foreign leader is going to be open and honest with whoever is sitting in the Oval Office. But they did that because they said they had a whistleblower they did not know, but the head of the Intel Committee actually met with the whistleblower. They started this all on the idea that the administration would not allow the whistleblower to come forward. We saw all the Sunday shows. We saw all of what Adam Schiff said, that he's going to fight so hard to allow that whistleblower to come forward. He is the only one who has denied us the whistleblower for coming forward. But anywhere else in a law in America, that if you base something upon a hearsay or an informant, that informant has to come forward, but not in the idea of impeaching this president. Because somehow the rule of law doesn't uphold to him because they think the people who voted for them are deplorable.
It's great. I just have to say, it's great to see Republicans fight. This reminds me of the Kavanaugh hearings. It reminds me when Republicans rose up and finally stood their ground. President Donald Trump is under attacks from the deep state, the deep state trying to cover its own tracks. The Democrats are trying to impeach him. They're trying to thwart his agenda at every single term. The media hates his guts, and yet he has more energy, he has more spirit than any politician I have ever seen before. In past impeachment fights, Bill Clinton, and we'll get to this in just a second, some direct quotes of what Bill Clinton said when he was going under impeachment. But I remember this, and we had the team at the Charlie Kirk Show go and fact check this. I remember, you know how you kind of watch these documentaries years ago and you kind of get a feeling and you know it's right? I remember watching this documentary 6 or 7 years ago when I was first starting Turning Point USA. I remember this where Bill Clinton was like, yeah, when I was under impeachment and they were real coming after me, I remember locking myself in the room and just asking for cake. And I'd eat the whole cake. And I remember he would do that. And he said that. And I was like, all right, I remember this. So we looked it up. And it's true. I mean, we actually came to the chef from the White House. It was this, the quote. When Bill Clinton was being impeached, White House staff reported that, quote, he was pounding on the table and shouting, quote, I want my bleep cake. Basically, we're not going to say the bad word. So while President Trump is hosting rallies, Bill Clinton was consuming calories. I think that's pretty good, right? That rhymes. While President Trump was hosting record big rallies, Bill Clinton was eating record amounts of calories. I came up with that right here, live on the Charlie Kirk Show. Now, Nixon was a drunk insomniac during impeachment. And again, I get these messages. You guys, if you guys saw my email inbox, you'd understand. And by the way, if you want to get into my email inbox, email freedom@charliekirk.com. I get these Nixon truthers. Nixon did nothing wrong and he was set up. Okay, fine. But Nixon, he was roaming the halls during impeachment. President Trump is more focused, more determined, more popular, and more successful than ever before. As you juxtapose the two embattled presidencies of the 20th century, Bill Clinton and Richard Nixon, and now you see President Trump. And guess what? I have a column coming out about this very soon. There's one thing that the Democrats were counting on that has not happened. There's one thing that they thought would happen that has not happened. And that thing is they thought President Trump would give up. They actually thought they could wear this man down. They thought that just no man could be this energetic for this long. We'll throw the deep state at him. We'll lock his friends up. We'll unjustly go after every person who's ever been in his orbit. We'll investigate his son. We'll investigate his business. We'll close down his charity. Send the Southern District of New York after him. Send the Manhattan District Attorney after him. We'll go after his attorney. Everything they could imagine. Special counsel, Bob Mueller, whistleblower, deep state, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Maxine Waters, midterms, Nancy Pelosi, everything. Blitzkrieg, scorched earth, every single lever pulled because they knew what he stood for. They knew what he stood for was a rebellion presidency. President Trump was a rebellion presidency against the ruling class that was putting our country towards endless wars, decreased individual liberty and freedom, and an erosion of Western values. They threw everything after him. And guess what? This is a great lesson for life, is that the bad guys that might be going after you right now, it might be a boss, it might be a family member you're disputing with, or someone who's really going after you and you're just like, I have no hope. They will only win if you give up. Just understand that. They will only win if you give up. That if you remove yourself and you just throw up your arms, that when you surrender is when the bad guys win. I remember I had this thing framed in my office. I'll never forget it. And it just stuck out at me. It was one of the Forbes issues a couple years ago. And I want to read this quote from Donald Trump. It was absolutely unbelievable. And this quote, I think, embodies the philosophy of Donald Trump better than almost any other quote that I have seen. And by the way, President Trump gets framed in a very political lens right now. This guy was an inspirational business leader. He was a best-selling author and great insight into real estate markets and entrepreneurship. And he's a multidimensional figure. He gets us put in this box with these horrible label words by the media and gets misrepresented so intentionally. And so I'm going to read this quote from Donald Trump in just one second. But first, get your house ready for Christmas with a free cleaning set. You can choose from a 3 limited edition scents from Mrs. Myers, like peppermint, orange clove, and Iowa pine. You can relax this Christmas season knowing Grove's got your back. Save time and money this holiday season by shopping with Grove. By the way, we do this at Turning Point USA. We're able to get clean cleaning products, environmentally clean and friendly cleaning products to clean Turning Point USA. We've got 150 people working now. We got two 13,000 square foot buildings. We got to be able to have cleaning supplies, and we want to make sure that they are environmentally friendly. As capitalists, we want to make those good decisions, not having government get in the way of it. And that's what Grove does. Grove does such a good job. And you could order all your Christmas essentials in one place. Christmas is here, as you know, and that can mean extra messes in your home. You guys might be arguing with the leftist about the truant, which if you guys don't understand what that means, go in past archives of the Charlie Kirk Show and download some episodes. You guys might spill some food. And what's going to be there to actually clean it up? Grove Collaborative. They're an online marketplace that delivers all natural home, beauty, and personal care products directly to you. So here's what you do. You go to grove.co/Kirk. That's grove.co/Kirk to get this exclusive Christmas offer. grove.co/Kirk. So many people use this. We put our name behind it here at Turning Point USA and the Charlie Kirk Show. Again, Christmas is coming. Get your gifts. Get some needed holidays, needed supplies for your office, for your home. It's very easy. It's a collaborative, easy to understand. grove.co/Kirk. So I remember reading this at like 5 a.m. when I just landed from a red eye and I bought the Forbes magazine the night before and I was just flipping through it. And this was one of the great quotes of President Trump. And this is something that I think just really stood out to me. This is the advice that he had and kind of how he was able to make the success that he was able to make. So I saw this quote, and I'm just going to read it. And the deep state did not understand this. So President Trump was asked to use one word that described his business success. They went through all the top 100 business leaders and titans. And you know what word that he chose to use? Metal, M-E-T-T-L-E. So some of you guys might not know what that word is or what that word means. It's not a very common word. So this is from dictionary.com. It means courage and fortitude. It can also mean on one's mettle, in a position of being incited to do one's best, basically to achieve to a higher level. So let's read his quote. And guess what? If the deep state and the Democrats would have understood this about Donald Trump, they would have realized that everything they did against him would have backfired. Here is this quote from Forbes 100th issue. Begin quote. The greatest business lesson I've ever learned in life is the same message I have for young people across America. Never give up. Even in the most difficult circumstances, have faith in yourself, confidence in your abilities, and conviction that you will be able to win for your family, for your business, and for your country. But you have to relish the fight. You have to enjoy coming into work every day and going to battle for what you believe in and for the people who you believe in. And if you do that, if you keep moving forward, then each victory along the way will feed into another victory and another opportunity and another chance for a breakthrough. By building this momentum, by pushing, by never backing down, and by refusing to allow other people to define your limits, you will bring your goals into closer range and you will accomplish them. America is a land of dreams. And if we chase those dreams with all of our hearts, then our country will be greater than ever before. You guys could have saved some time, Deep State, if you guys would have understood that. And this guy is relentless. He has a true spirit and love for the country. And as he said in this interview, if you don't give up, if you keep pushing forward, which he has done so unbelievably well, and you don't surrender like Bill Clinton and Richard Nixon did, you can succeed. But will these articles of impeachment even make it through the House? Consider this new article from Politico, which is a small group of Democrats float out censure instead of impeachment. It's a very unlikely outcome, but it underscores lingering angst among some moderates. Quote, the group of about 10 Trump district lawmakers, the idea of censure, according to the lawmakers, is an offer of a competing alternative to impeachment that could attract at least some Republican support on the floor. It would also help Democrats avoid a lengthy impeachment trial in the Senate, which some in this group fear could tilt the public opinion towards the Republicans in the final months before the 2020 election, end quote. House Democrats can only lose 17 votes on impeachment. So who knows? Maybe Democrats will see that impeachment as a loser and back out. But don't count on it. They're in way too deep. But they will likely live to regret going forward with whatever they do with impeachment. A new poll out Wednesday from Quinnipiac reveals that a majority of voters don't want Trump impeached or removed from office. The poll found that 51% of registered voters surveyed says they don't want to see Trump impeached or removed from office, compared to 45% who do. So the same poll hasn't shown a majority of voters don't want impeachment since the beginning of the impeachment sham back in late September. So these are the first time that these polls actually show President Trump winning and leading in these polls. And remember, he won the presidency while being behind in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania going into Election Day. And so just to play the timeline here, if we actually get to an impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate, that means sometime around the Super Bowl, we'll likely hold the Senate trial. And we're going to tell you exactly what that means and the significance of it. But do you know what feels great? Paying off high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving money. Refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay, much lower than the average credit card interest rate over 20% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees, no application fees and no origination fees, no transaction fees, no prepayment penalties. The online application is quick and easy, and you can apply right from your phone. Plus, you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that when you have good credit, you deserve a low rate and great service, and that's exactly what they deliver. Just for my listeners, apply now and get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is go to lightstream.com/Kirk. That's lightstream.com/Kirk, LightStream.com/Kirk. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Kirk for more information. So today, the White House, according to Deputy Press Secretary Hogan Gidley, is basically saying, bring it on. We want the trial. Don't tempt us. We will fight back. Roll tape.
It's pretty clear the president wants a trial. He said it publicly many times. In fact, You know, he's even talked about some of the witnesses that we want to call, whether it be Adam Schiff, the whistleblower, Hunter Biden, or Joe Biden. So he wants to move forward, and we'll see what form that takes in the near future, I'm sure.
So if this does go to the Senate, which is likely, we might see Joe Biden on the stand, Hunter Biden, and Adam Schiff. Where's Adam gone? And maybe even the whistleblower himself. Where's the whistleblower? Shmerik Shmirella. Shmerik Shmirella. We never say the name of the whistleblower, by the way. You can go back in episodes of The Charlie Kirk Show, download every episode, and go back to Shmerik Shmirella, where we don't say the name of the whistleblower. Meanwhile, our great attorney general, which, by the way, something really bothered me, and I'm not going to say who said it or what show said it or what cable news network said it, but you guys can probably guess. But a cable news channel said, today, President Trump's attorney general was very upset and was very appalled. They said, what? It's not President Trump's attorney general. It's your attorney general. It's our attorney general. It's the country's attorney general. It was such sloppy language. It really bothered me. Anyway, the attorney general of the United States of America was on a tear today. He said that Americans should be appalled. He said that the president was clearly spied on by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and that an irresponsible press hyped the Russian collusion hoax like they wanted it to happen. He countered the headlines in the media of Horowitz's Inspector General report, no bias, and he was adamant. Listen to this.
I think our nation was turned on its head for 3 years. I think based on a completely bogus narrative that was largely fanned and hyped by an irresponsible press. And I think that there were gross abuses of FISA. An inexplicable behavior that is intolerable in the FBI.
So all of this was in the lead up to President Trump's amazing rally in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where he went off on the Inspector General report and spying on his campaign. Play tape.
The FBI failed to disclose the nature of the political hit job to the FISA court. They hid it, they deceived it, and they lied. The dossier was written by a discredited foreign agent who, quote, desperate that Donald Trump not get elected and was passionate about him not being the United States president. What's this? They, folks, they spied on our campaign, okay? They spied. Never happened before in the history of our country. And we're really wise to it. We're wise to it. The Inspector General found that the FBI's spying application contained 17 errors and omissions, commonly known as lies and deceit. When the FBI, and you have great people in the FBI, but not in leadership, you have not good people in leadership, you haven't had. When the FBI uncovered evidence showing that we did absolutely nothing wrong, which was right at the beginning, they hid that exonerating. You know that. They hid it. They hid it so nobody could see it, so they could keep this hoax going on for 2 years. They knew right at the beginning that it was all a frame-up, a setup.
And President Trump then rightly suggested that Pelosi has lost control of her majority to the radicals, the AOC wing of the party, the squad, which three-fourths of the squad is under federal investigation for FEC violations. 75% of the squad is under investigation. It's not good. But if you remember, Pelosi tried to resist impeachment because she lived through the impeachment of President Bill Clinton, but she lost control. Play tape.
These people are so bad, the radical left Democrats. And I actually think that Pelosi, who, by the way, she has totally lost control. She is totally. It's being run now by this crazy AOC. Plus three. AOC plus three. Now it's being run by other people. The far left has just grabbed that party. It is so sad to see. And she knew what would happen.
And President Trump even went off on Peter Strzok and Lisa Page's love affair, the lovers, where they had text messages where they said, we can't let this happen. Smelly Walmart people. Insurance policy. I hope he loses 60 million to one. Play tape of the president.
Peter Strzok. And his lover, Lisa Page. Remember? Lisa, I love you so much. Lisa, please. Lisa, I've never loved anyone like you. We won't allow this to happen to our country. Lisa, please. Some of you love me, Lisa. I love you. Peter, I love you. I love you like I've never loved anyone. And if for any reason she loses, even though she's a stone-cold, corrupt person, if for any reason she loses, Peter, we've got to have an insurance policy. We have to do it. Because we're going to go out, and that's what's been happening for the last 2.5 years, okay? It was their phony insurance policy. So FBI lawyer Lisa Page, so in love that she didn't know what the hell was happening, texted the head of counterintelligence, Peter Strzok, likewise, so in love he couldn't see straight. This poor guy, did I hear he needed a restraining order after this whole thing to keep him away from Lisa? That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true. The fake news will never report it.
But just to show you how this president is uniquely able to actually walk and chew gum at the same time, he's talking about other policies, like the biggest issue in America that I think that is growing is immigration, illegal entry into America, and mass immigration that goes unaddressed. Play tape.
We're removing these criminal illegal aliens from our country by the thousands. We're sending them home. And we're not letting them come back in. We're being very tough. And Mexico is now giving us 27,000 soldiers at our border. And Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, we signed a very important agreement with each. When their people come into our country, they weren't taking them back. Now they take them back and they say, thank you very much. They weren't taking them back. If we had a murderer from Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, we want to bring him back under past administrations. They'd bring him. They say, we don't want him. Don't land your plane with us. They say, thank you very much. We will take him back. Because we've let them know the price is very bad if they don't do that.
So look, the President of the United States is ready for this fight in the trial. Bring it on Hunter Biden. Bring it on Joe Biden. He will cross-examine you, call witnesses to the stand, and those of us that love our country will be there to defend this president in a publicly televised trial in the United States Senate. If you think this country is divided now, just wait till this thing goes to the United States Senate under trial. Mr. President, thank you for fighting for this country. Thank you for addressing these issues head on. We have your back. These Democrats will be brought to justice at the ballot box next year. And Adam Schiff has been such a disgrace to this country. He has lied repeatedly. And the only good thing about lies is eventually the truth will prevail against it. So now I want to get to a story that I wanted to lead with, but Mr. Producer had a pretty good point where he said, Charlie, the president's about to get impeached, so you can't lead with this. But this story really bothered me. And we were talking about this in our pre-show meeting, and we were really passionate about this because I have been vehemently against the Afghan war for some time now. This endless occupation of a foreign country that we're spending tens of billions of dollars. And so the Washington Post has proven that they can be right twice in one day, and actually were right twice in one day. They were right with the USMCA, and they were right with this and wrong and everything else. They published an absolute bombshell. And I was watching cable news almost all day. I did not see any coverage of this whatsoever. And I understand there's impeachment, there's all this sort of stuff. But under normal circumstances, this would be cable news dominating earth-shattering news. The Washington Post published an absolute unbelievable bombshell, which was the Afghanistan Papers, A Secret History of the War. And basically they found out that the people that were running the Afghan war knew that we were not winning, trying to sell the American people on a lie and trying to push forth this foreign endless occupation. Makes me sick to my stomach because thousands of Americans went and died under a lie, a total and complete lie. So what the Washington Post did was unearth thousands of pages of documents revealing the United States had no strategy in Afghanistan. And in fact, we were hemorrhaging money in what many were considering internally as a failed effort. A failed effort, mind you, that the United States is still involved in the longest war in American history. So now I'm going to take a deep breath. In a former episode of The Charlie Kirk Show that you guys can find at charliekirk.com, and if you guys can't find it, email us at freedom@charliekirk.com. I did a whole segment, a whole series on no war with Iran. Now, mind you, before I even get into this, let me tell you what my personal foreign policy is. I feel that way too often in foreign policy, we deal in the black and white absolute. So let me tell you the two absolutes of the two failed foreign policy doctrines that have destroyed our country over the last 20 years. The Bush Doctrine is you invade every single country that you don't agree with, that you just invade everything. invade Iraq, you invade Afghanistan, you mobilize troops all across the Middle East. This was proven to be incorrect. Regime change wars don't win. And Barack Obama even tried a regime change operation in Libya, and it's a disaster. But the Obama foreign policy is the exact opposite. It's the absolute extreme. So instead of invade every single country that you don't, that doesn't like us, you go send billions of dollars to those countries. It's like the exact opposite. So they justified it because the Bush doctrine worked so poorly, they had to create their own foreign policy doctrine where they send billions of dollars to the Iranians, the evil Iranian leaders who hate us. They sent cash to the Iranians, $1.5 billion in cash, while Iran has been funding Hezbollah and funding Hamas, and the Iranian regime hates Israel and they hate America. And so President Trump, thinking of things as a rational, pro-American businessman who loves his country, says the Bush endless wars failed, sending money to Obama failed, there has to be another way, and there is another way. And it's called the MAGA Doctrine, the Make America Great Again Doctrine. I have a book coming out called the MAGA Doctrine. You guys can pre-order it right now at charliekirk.com. It won't get there in time for Christmas. It doesn't come out till next year, but you go to charliekirk.com. And so let's go into the history of where things began. And as you guys hear these revelations, I hope you get sick to your stomach. And I hope you, alongside me, will fight and protest the next war that these DC political elites try to drag us into, and that you will do everything you possibly can to end this war in Afghanistan. But if anyone continues to try to justify this foreign occupation, I really hope you reconsider. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to be very nice and gently land that plane, because you guys know exactly what I want to say when I say that, but I'm not going to say that. So I hope you reconsider your position. Everything began on 9/11. And on September 12th, the day after 9/11, the following day, President Bush did the right thing and called the attacks more than just acts of terror, but they were acts of war. And he resolved to pursue and conquer any enemy that would no longer be safe, quote, in its harbors. So what Bush did in the first little window after 9/11, and any military expert will tell you that we killed more terrorists and held more people accountable right after 9/11 than any other time in this 20-year occupation of the Middle East, nearly 20-year occupation of the Middle East, I should say. So Bush was on a correct, and America was alongside him, was on a war path to track down al-Qaeda terrorists and Osama bin Laden. We used special forces, we used targeted bombings, we used Navy SEALs, we used Green Berets. We went in and we killed the enemy. We didn't occupy, we didn't send in endless amounts of forces. So here's some sound of President Bush announcing the attacks right after 9/11. So I want you to understand, we killed more terrorists in 90 days after 9/11 than in 19 years. We had more impact against our enemies in 18 years, not 19, 18, 18 years, almost to be 19 years, coming up in 2020. 18 years. Roll tape of President Bush.
On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes against al-Qaeda terrorist training camps and military installations of the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. These carefully targeted actions are designed to disrupt the use of Afghanistan as a terrorist base of operations and to attack the military capability of the Taliban regime. We are joined in this operation by our staunch friend, Great Britain. Other close friends, including Canada, Australia, Germany, and France, have pledged forces as the operation unfolds. More than 40 countries in the Middle East, Africa, Europe, and across Asia have granted air transit or landing rights. Many more have shared intelligence. We are supported by the collective will of the world.
Here are some facts. Since then, more than, get this number, this number is unbelievable, 775,000 United States troops have been deployed to Afghanistan, many on many different tours. Of those, 2,300 are dead. They're dead for a war that should have never happened. Afghanistan was not behind 9/11. Afghanistan gave safe harbor to some terrorists that were involved in 9/11. You know who was behind 9/11? Iran, Saudi Arabia. Both of them were behind 9/11, and documents show both of them. But mostly the hijackers were Saudi Arabian and Emirati and Egyptian. 15 out of 19 of the hijackers were Saudi Arabian. One of them were Emirati. One of them was Egyptian. One of them, I can't remember where they were. We'll look it up. We'll get a fact check really quick here. Was Afghanistan perfectly behaved? Of course not. Are the Taliban involved in exploiting women? Yeah. Does that mean that we should go invade a sovereign country? No. That's the limitations of a nation. Respecting other people's sovereignty and understanding that you know what destroys great nations? Endless and reckless wars. President Trump understands this. Did you know that over 20,589 people were wounded in action according to the Department of Defense figures. And by the way, the Afghanistan war is far even more justified than the ridiculous Iraq invasion. Don't even get me started on the Iraq war. That's a totally different thing. And one was Lebanese, okay? So you have one Lebanese, one Emirati, one Egyptian, and 15 Saudi Arabians. And a Saudi Arabian, by the way, just killed people in the Pensacola air station. We'll get to that in a second. And Iran was involved too. Iran provided funding. And so, by the way, people say, oh, Charlie, you know, we have to continue our alliance with Saudi Arabia because we got to go against Iran. No, you can hate both of them. Like, we're the strongest country ever to exist in the history of the world. The richest, the best military. You can be skeptical of both of them. Now, do I want war? I want war with none of them. Like, I want the entire region to be put on notice, okay? All of them. Every single country in the Gulf. I want to be put on notice that we actually care more about China than the Middle East. You guys go figure yourself out. We're energy independent. How many people have PTSD? Let's check this out. How many people from the Afghan war have PTSD and the war in the Middle East? Since 2011, the DOD, Department of Defense, State Department, U.S. Agency for International Development have spent, this is so sick, has spent or appropriated between $934 billion and $974 billion, according to inflation-adjusted estimated calculated by Netta Crawford, a professor for Brown University. I'm speaking there very soon. $978 billion. You know what that $978 billion could have went towards? How about our debt? We're $22 trillion in debt, and China owns a piece of our country. How about urban education, school choice for black kids? How about infrastructure? How about something that would actually benefit our country? So we went and spent basically $1 trillion. We basically spent $1 trillion for nothing, for a war that should never have happened. So, okay, let's play this up. Let's say we did the war, it was a mistake. It takes real courage to get out of the war. President Trump is trying to do that. The Pensacola naval base shooter, thank goodness President Trump is actually calling for review of all foreign training at our bases. We should have learned that we should not teach Saudi Arabians to fly airplanes after 9/11. And our producer team is nodding their head enthusiastically here. I'm not the only person that has this idea. And for 18 years, we've been told by military leaders, defense secretaries, and U.S. presidents that there was a plan in Afghanistan. By the way, one-fifth of all the soldiers that went to Afghanistan have PTSD, according to VA. That means 155,000 people have PTSD. Veteran suicide. I want numbers on veteran suicide. So all of you self-serving ruling class elites that play war games with our men and women are literally putting kids, and I call them kids, and I don't mean that as a pejorative, but young men and women, they're 20, 22 years old, they want to serve their country. You had no plan in Afghanistan. You had no plan, and you deployed them for what? So you could get defense contracts? So you get invited to the right cocktail parties? So you could be loved in Washington, D.C.? The documents that the Washington Post have released today and were reviewed by neutral observers, not just the Washington Post, not just the Amazon Bezos-funded Washington Post, and not just the Obama pro-Iran deal people that have never found a part of U.S. intervention that they don't like, not just those people, but neutral observers, people that love their country, have said that there was no plan after review of these documents. And guess what? Thousands and thousands of these veterans are committing suicide. They're committing suicide because they were put into an environment and atmosphere with unbelievable stress, with things that no human being should ever see, the casualty, the blood, the suffering. I will not sit idly by and just toe the party line on this issue. And I appreciate the president for speaking out against this, for speaking against this war in Afghanistan. You know what you get over there? You get sand and death. And I'm so sick and tired of Republicans and people in this whole kind of world. Oh, well, you know, we have to be everywhere across the world. No, we don't. According to a report, the suicide rate of veterans age 18 to 34 steadily increased from 2006 to 2016, with a jump of more than 10% from 2015 to 2016. That translates into 45 deaths per 100 veterans, the highest of any age group. Do you know how many veterans killed themselves today on average? 20. 20 vets killed themselves today. 20. Think about that. 20 vets killed themselves a day. What if we would have got out of Afghanistan half as quickly, 9 years ago? How many vets would have been saved? How many families would have had fathers here at Christmas? How many families would have mothers at Christmas that don't harm themselves? The PTSD and vet suicide from war on terror veterans are still not as accurate as they could be because the war is actually still ongoing. So there's people right now in Afghanistan, and I want you to think how brutal this is because it's true. And war is like the worst thing ever. I want you to understand that. War is not some video game that you play. War is not some movie that you glamorize. War is like the worst thing you could possibly imagine. The brutality, the death, the suffering, the carnage. And we cheapen war in our society. I think that's a fair thing to say. Kids play these video games and they think it's all fun and games. And it's not. you see things that you shouldn't see. And I've never been there, but being around people that have, it's nothing to trivialize at all. So I want you to think about how brutal this is. There's a human being right now in Afghanistan that will likely commit suicide in the next couple of years. That's sick. And now these new documents from the Washington Post, and kudos to them for doing honest journalism for once. And it doesn't even make Trump look bad, actually. It actually makes Trump look good, which is good for them. Show that there's no plan. There's no success. So we have this endless occupation in Afghanistan while our country's $22 trillion in debt. For what? For nothing. I'm going to get into more of it in just 1 second. But thanks to our friends and exclusive partners at betonline.ag, they do great work, go Ducks, we'll have a chance to win a $150 Amazon gift card and be entered into the grand prize of a $1,000 Amazon gift card on Christmas Day. Enter to win in 3 easy steps. Sign up for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code podcast1 for your 50% welcome bonus. Email your BetOnline account number to gift@podcast1.com. You guys can get cash out of this. One name will be chosen random each day, so it's gift@podcast1.com. Thanks to all of our listeners, and Merry Christmas. And by the way, while we were just doing that, mission22.com. Mission22.com for suicide awareness makes me sick. I'm actually sick doing this segment, just so we understand. I'm sick. All our generation knows, as far as foreign policies, America at war. One of my earliest childhood memories was 9/11. And you guys can go back into the Charlie Kirk Show archives where we did, I think, one of the best episodes as far from a production standpoint. It was a somber episode. I don't mean to say it was a nice episode. It was a hard episode to do. One of the earliest memories I had was walking into my second grade classroom and having a teacher try to explain to me that an airplane has just hit a tower and people are dead. Okay? From that point forward, I've known nothing as far as it comes to U.S. foreign policy as neighbors and friends and family going off to fight some very unclear enemy in the Middle East while we get further into debt and more people come back and kill themselves with no end in sight. And trust me, I want the people who pulled off 9/11 to be held accountable. I'm not a dove when it comes to foreign policy, okay? I'm not a Barack Obama fund the Iranian mullah dove, but I'm also a patriot. And when I see Americans go die for nothing, I need answers. And that means to you Republicans out there and Democrats, but especially the Republicans that voted for this thing, I don't swear on the Charlie Kirk Show, it's a family-friendly show. I demand answers. Did you know the high school class of 2020 will graduate never having lived in a country not at war? Unbelievable. Here's Barack Obama to prove this failure spanned multiple administrations. The days of providing a blank check are over. It must be clear that Afghans will have to take responsibility for the security and that America has no interest in fighting an endless war in Afghanistan. But did that actually happen? No! Both parties. And I know I focused on the Republicans, because you know what? You got to give tough love to your own side when you're sending our citizens to go die for nothing. Thanks to this reporting by the Washington Post, we now know that this simply was not the case. What they're revealing, and you think I'm mad now, just wait till I get through this thing. And I don't care if we're going over time. We're going to finish this segment. We're going to finish it right. What they reveal is so infuriating. But first, how did the Washington Post get this information? According to the Post, they come from the Office of Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, known as SIGAR, the agency that was created by Congress in 2008 to investigate waste and fraud in the war zone. All of it was waste and fraud, except our vets. We love our vets. When I go after this, by the way, I want to make this very clear. I'm not attacking our soldiers at all. I'm not attacking our vets. I'm not attacking our citizens. I'm attacking the self-serving politicians that put them in harm's way. So what did we learn? Hope you're ready for this. Since 2001, Washington has spent more on regime change, reckless nation building in Afghanistan than in any country ever, allocating $133 billion for reconstruction, aid programs, and the Afghan security forces. Afghanistan is in a worse place now than it was before that. Adjusted for inflation, that is more than the United States spent in Western Europe with the Marshall Plan after World War II. Somebody got rich. Somebody got rich. And you know who didn't get rich? The coal miners in West Virginia didn't get rich from this. The family in Missouri that lost their son in Afghanistan didn't get rich off of this. The family in Butte, Montana that lost their son in Afghanistan didn't get rich off of this. The family in Miami, Florida. The family in Michigan. The thousands of families that now have to go to Christmas without their family members. For what? Nothing. For self-serving politicians that get invited to the correct cocktail parties. Then they said Congress and the White House made matters worse by drenching the destitute country with far more money than it could possibly absorb. I mean, how could you want socialism? Let's just do a byproduct. How could you want socialism after reading this report? I mean, Elizabeth Warren has some answers. We'll do a whole nother segment on this, a whole nother episode. after seeing the waste, fraud, and abuse of what our government does when they have a lot of money, why would you want government to run anything after this? The flood crested during the Obama's first term as president, and he escalated the number of U.S. troops in the war zone to 100,000. Ridiculous. One unnamed executive with the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, guessed that 90% of what was spent was overkill. 90%! We got black kids that can't read in Baltimore, and we're sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Afghanistan so they could go build bridges they don't need and natural gas stations they can't use and hotels that won't be visited and giving arms to people that are going to kill us. We got black kids that can't read in the inner city. Anyone, regardless of political party that agrees with that, I will work with to fix this problem. I don't care if you're a Marxist, okay? Welcome aboard. If you think that kids should be given resources to read in the inner city more than people in Afghanistan should be given money for God knows what, I'll work with you. Screw party lines on this stuff. And President Trump agrees too, by the way. And that's why the rebellion presidency of President Trump is under so much siege. He's trying to end these things. That's why they're trying to impeach him. That's why they're trying to remove him. The U.S. nation building project backfired in so many ways that even foreign aid advocates question whether Afghanistan in the abstract might have had better off without any U.S. help at all. I want to make something very clear. The people that I'm talking about that are going on the record were previously for the war, and now they're speaking against it. And I was just saying, I've seen this happen in slow motion, hoping it would get better. And just so we're clear, when I was in middle school and high school, yeah, I thought, yeah, sure, regime change, pro-America, nonsense, enough. Displacement of dictators and thinking we can be neoconservatives in the Middle East and they'll adopt our values, ridiculous, especially when we're $22 trillion in debt. So Jeffrey Eggers, a retired Navy SEAL and White House staffer for Bush and Obama, told government interviewers this. What did we get for this $1 trillion? Was it worth $1 trillion? He continued by saying, after the killing of Osama bin Laden, I said that Osama was probably laughing in his watery grave considering how much we spent on Afghanistan. If you hate America and you're a member of ISIS, if you hate America and you're a member of Al-Qaeda, boy, we're in a less competitive position and they've won by this ridiculous foreign occupation in the Middle East. And I want you to go right now, challenge your member of Congress of any party and ask them why they still support this. Every data point was altered to present the best possible picture. Bob Crowley, an Army colonel who served as a senior counterinsurgency advisor to the U.S. military commands in 13 and 14, told government interviewers. Surveys, for instance, were totally unreliable, but reinforced that everything we were doing was right and we became a self-licking ice cream cone. He finished it. And someone was profiting, and it wasn't the families that lost their loved ones. One unidentified contractor told government interviewers he was expected to dole out $3 million a day in Afghan districts roughly the size of a U.S. county. So let me get this straight. We're giving out $3 million a day, okay? We're giving out $3 million a day in Afghanistan while people are addicted to methadone in Bangor, Maine. And people can't read in Baltimore, Maryland. And people can't go to good schools in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we're dishing out $3 million a day does not make America more competitive or stronger in any way, shape, or form. He once asked a visiting congressman whether a lawmaker could responsibly spend that kind of money back home. He said, hell no. Well, sir, that's what you just obligated us to spend, and I'm doing it for communities that live in mud huts with no windows. Somebody got really rich off of this, folks, and it's been covered up by our own government. And it's a ruling class scam and sham against you listening to this. So let me kind of complete all this, and we'll do future episodes on this, the Charlie Kirk Show. As you can tell, I'm pretty fired up, because my generation has seen this happen in slow motion over our entire life. We know nothing but looking at war. We know nothing but America at war with no victory in sight. The Vietnam War was a catastrophic mistake. We didn't learn from that. The Iraq War was a catastrophic mistake, and the Afghan War turned out to be a catastrophic mistake. We've learned nothing. The Libyan regime change was a catastrophic mistake. And you might say, well, Charlie, what about going against ISIS? Well, that's exactly what we should do. You go in and out, you kill the leader, and that's it. You get out. There's a threat that could threaten our country, and you kill them, and you get out. These endless occupation, foreign regime change wars in Afghanistan, the data that came out of this Washington Post Afghanistan is extraordinary. And while our country is crumbling, the defense contractors and other people got very, very rich. I'm sure I made plenty of enemies by doing this segment, but I love my country, and whoever comes after me, so be it. Because that's really what we need to do. We need to defend our country, and that's what our president has done so well. And I'll tell you, I'm so sick and tired of seeing our country crumble from within while we're sending billions and billions of dollars to people that hate us. We're not even spending it well, and we're still spending $5 billion a year. $5 billion a year, and we can't get our wall funded. We can't get the wall built. So we spend $133 billion in Afghanistan, and we can't get this I'm not going to say a bad word because that's not what we do at the Charlie Kirk Show. We can't get our wall funded. Unbelievable. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to hear what you think about my segment. If you disagree, I'd love to hear why. I once had this pro-Afghan war guy come to one of our Turning Point USA events. I kind of felt bad for him, but nice kid. I hope he's still involved. I hope he's listening today, and I hope he can justify this stuff. freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. And I just want to say it's been both parties, Republicans and Democrats, that have done this thing. And this Christmas season, just think of all the families that don't have their sons and daughters that are going to be looking at open chairs for what? Now, if we were fighting a great existential evil like we did in World War II, and we were really doing something that was bigger than ourselves, then those memories should be held very close to our hearts. And they still should be, because their people are heroes. But what was the cause of Afghanistan for? What was it? It was under the disguise of trying to say that it'll make America a stronger country, but it didn't. Certain people benefited, and it wasn't middle America. It was the ruling class elites, and it's completely unacceptable. All right, everybody, this is a great show. We really appreciate it. Please email us at freedom@charliekirk.com. We have an amazing episode coming up tomorrow where I answer your questions. So email them, freedom@charliekirk.com. We've got another one coming up next week. It's not too late to come to our Student Action Summit in Palm Beach. Go to tpusa.com/SAS. Adults and parents, consider giving a tax-deductible gift of any amount at TPUSA. And kids and students out there, come and get involved at our college campuses or our high school campuses at tpusa.com/get involved. Email us at freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys got questions, comments, send them to us and support our sponsors. And get involved. Come down to our Student Action Summit. Again, I'll say this one last time. We got Ben Shapiro, Glenn Beck, Candace Owens, Dan Crenshaw, Donald Trump Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, Mark Levin, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, and maybe a huge speaker soon to be announced. tpusa.com/SAS. All right, everybody. Till next time, this is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show. Thanks so much. See you soon.
During the season of giving, we'd like to offer you a little something special, and all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time. We need you to complete a short survey because your opinion matters to us and helps support the show. It'll only take a couple of minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastone.study, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.study. The first 150 people to complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. So please go to podcastone.study, and as always, thank you for supporting the show. And happy holidays from all of us at Podcast One.